walking down Sheepfoot Lane. We've got regular guest Bin Man here, and we have got an international on here now. We've got Robin, who is from France. How's it going?
It's great. I'm loving watching the matches on iFollow and just just enjoying it really.
Some games though, not all games.
Yeah, got to take the rough with the smooth.
Absolutely.
Both keeping well.
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm top of the world. What about you, Robin? You good?
Yeah, grand. Just getting ready for an evening. Just waiting to watch the FA Cup highlights at the end of the day, to be honest. But otherwise, looking forward to Tuesday's match. Hoping we can keep it going.
Absolutely.
Definitely. So we're talking before the podcast started. You said that you've moved to France. Just tell us, obviously, a bit about yourself. How did you get into Latics and how do you continue supporting now from France?
Well, I was born in Shaw, and born in Oldham, and I lived in Shaw all my life. And my dad took us, me and my family, we used to have season tickets for the Ford Stand, when it was the Ford Stand. As I was saying to you, I was lucky enough that I just kind of turned about 18 just at the time of our best couple of seasons. So I managed to watch almost all the games from the promotion season and the FA Cup semi-final and the League Cup final. So it was it's so unfair for all the younger fans who've never seen anything like that. Because it came out of the blue. We weren't any better than we are now. Just suddenly everything clicked and we got these all this bunch of ne'er-do-well players just all came together and made this fantastic team. The thing about that is it makes you think that it could happen again. That's the worst of it. It gives you hope.
Like Brad always says, so you're saying, Brad.
It's the hope that always kills you.
It is. It's a hope, and you know, you just think we can do it, and it hurts inside. Because, like you said, matey, you've seen the success where me and Brad have seen nothing but cup runs, And I've said previously in these podcasts, it's not success, is it? Having a cup run, you don't exactly lift the cup, do you? And that's the most heartbreaking thing about it. We don't do anything. Period, you know what I mean? And it's hard. But as you say, you've obviously seen the glory days, Robin. Is that what made you carry on and think, this is a fan for life?
My dad's a Rotherham fan. He was born and bred in Rotherham and he always followed Rotherham, but he took us to Oldham and he spent his life following Rotherham no matter what. And if we played against Rotherham, he'd always be supporting Rotherham. And once you've got your team, you've got your team, and you can't go changing. You see it every now and again. People say, "Oh, now I support Man United or something," and you just think, "Well, you're not really a football fan, then, are you?"
Definitely not. What's your best memory from the glory days? Would you say?
I mean, there's always the big matches. To be honest, my favourite personal memory is when we got through, when we beat Arsenal and we in the League Cup, and we got to play at Southampton in the quarter final, and I don't know if it's the first time ever, but Oldham Athletic chartered a train to Southampton.
Yeah, I've heard about this. I was
on that train. It was a bit of a mess. Yeah. It was fantastic. just going. I mean, you guys talk about away days, but that was something else, because the old train. When you're on a train nowadays, obviously, you've got to be looking out for other people, but that train was just full of Oldham fans.
Good piss up.
Oh,
man.
Well, especially with the match being the way it was, because we were 2-0 down. We thought we were going to, get thrashed, and then that late goal from Andy Ritchie, just unbelievable. And just getting back on the train after that was just a mess. I don't really remember about getting home.
No, that's a memory that sticks out for you personally.
Though. Oh, yeah. Well, just the idea was chartering a train. Can you imagine us having that many fans?
You couldn't think about us doing it now, obviously.
I don't even think I don't think you could,
but obviously when we go down to London, everyone's always on the, when Virgin did the sales, a £10 return, it's always full of Latics fans. I think that's the closest you get. You always have the same faces, they're absolutely pissed out their heads. And I think we all have a carriage. So obviously the big long train, so we all have a carriage, we all have a good sing song. there. But yeah,
I think
that's
we have
the
a character to ourselves, don't we, Brad? Because normally when we're on it, if you're not a football fan or thinking they walk off it because you don't like what they're being said.
Yeah, you've been told a few times. You've been told a few times, Ben, man, haven't you?
I remember we were going to Yeovil one year, weren't we, Brothers, on this this absolute awful train it was. And it was hot, sweaty, it was horrible. Anyway, we were on the way down there, and it was just me and Brad in this carriage. We got a load of Peroni Lager, got on the piss. We were shit, so we knew we were probably going to get beat. We're on this Peroni Lager, and this woman inside of us, with her glasses raised halfway down the sheet, looking, reading this book, and me and Bradley were on our own, singing songs, being absolute idiots. And she just went, disgusting, and walked off into Bradley.
We had a good that the other one. It was a good one. So I was a student at the time. I was pretty skint as well. So and we were dodging like trip fares, weren't we? Like we were missing places that we had to get connections and stuff like that.
And we
put like the brightness down on our phone so the inspector couldn't see the ticket properly. He went, yeah, there you go. And we got on there and then we just cracked open a beer. It was just a good day, but obviously the result wasn't bad.
Well, we got absolutely chunked, but I think me and Brad got to Yeovil for £8.80, didn't we?
Yeah, all the way down for £8.80.
Fabulous.
That's great. You know, memories like that, you know, even though we get beat, even if we would have won the game, stuff, you know, take the game out of it, memories like that, delivery forever, you know what I mean?
Well, that's it. It's great, isn't it? The match is kind of half, it's not even important. Unless you play Man United.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. But let's talk about current things at the moment. So obviously, quite a lot has happened this week. We've had three transfers in, one transfer out, and we've had the Newport game. So we'll talk about the signings first of all. Obviously, Kiel said that he had players in mind. I think he said he had two or three, so I don't think we're going to sign anybody else. What have you made of the signings first, Robin? The first three, obviously, Hilsner, Barnes and Adams.
Well, I mean, you can't argue with Adams's input. He just comes straight in and he just looks like the pro we've been desperately waiting for. I like Hilsner as well.
I agree with that.
I think he's a bit lacking match fitness, but you can see there's definitely something there. There's like the spine of a brilliant team if we can keep these lot together. I'm not getting carried away with it, but Nicky Adams just looks like something we've desperately needed and he just fitted straight in. You could see him clapping the players and encouraging them and keeping everyone's head level. It was great to see. And I'm totally pleased with it. Even the young striker, the striker that came on, you know, he looked like he offered something a bit different, a bit of pace. I'd like to see a bit more of him, but you could see Nicky Adams fitting anywhere in that team. He could go down the middle, just on the right hand side.
Well, I thought that about Adams. And do you know what my personal view on it? Sorry to cut you off there, Robbie. But do you know what I thought, me personally? It felt like he'd been here for about 2 years.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it felt like a player that we've already got. I know we've missed a player like that. What I'm getting at is he just slotted straight in like someone who's been here before.
Totally.
Didn't he? You know, he was really good yesterday. But sorry, go on.
That's exactly it. I mean, even the little interviews, he's done a couple of interviews and he just sounds like he sounds like he's pleased to be here. Obviously, it's good for his family because he lives up this neck of the woods. Everything seems to just have clicked. And obviously, it could all go wrong next match. But for once, just a player that obviously Kiel's apparently had his eye on, bringing him in and it's working just straight away like that. Just, you know, it just gives you a bit of encouragement when you see, you know, other things happening around the club. You see something like that, you think, yeah, there's hope to be had.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. When I'm obviously looking at Adams aside, I think we have tried to sign him a few times in his career. I think Welland tried getting him in. And I think Johnson tried getting him in as well. So he's a player that we've been after for a while and he has been around the area. He's the type of player which we have been crying out for. We need an experienced head, someone who's been in the league. He's, like I said, the last two times he's been in the league, he's got promoted. He's got promoted with Bury, got promoted with Northampton. He's played 18 games in League One this season, so he's not been in the game. So he's played majority of the games for Northampton, and Northampton fans were sad to see him go. So I think it's a really good sign. But when we did sign, the downside was obviously we've had these professionals before, the 34, 35, 36-year-old, and they get on the wrong side of the owners. And obviously we had Abdallah's interview a few weeks ago where he said, what's the point of having a 34, 35-year-old?
Yeah.
They're going to offer you one season. Is it the case that we're going to sign him? He's going to have this brilliant 6 months. There's going to be a disagreement, and then come pre-season next year. Sorry, pre-season next season, he's in the reserves with Wita.
I think that's exactly it, and that's what everyone's worried about, is this is coming up to the end of the season and having the same old, you know, a clear out, and then we have to start again from scratch. And the one thing that the club's been desperately looking for is a bit of consistency. Keeping Kewell on for as long as we have, which isn't that long really, but for us it's quite a long while. It's not that he's, you know, ripping up any trees. It's just that we've got someone who can, you know, a bit of consistency. Give him the chance to get his team together, and then let it, you know, let them stay together and let them work together. It's such a small thing, but it's all we're crying out for. And like you said, the messages seem to be so mixed coming from the owners and the leaders of the club that you know, one hand it's we're not having the old players, and the next thing you know we're bringing in a 34-year-old, and it just doesn't make you know, these things happen in football, but it just doesn't seem to make any sense. You know, why not just be straight up with us and tell us what's happening? And I think that's our biggest frustration.
Yeah, I agree with you. Don't you think it's a case of finger guys that he has swallowed his pride and thought, well, actually, we're going to have to do this, and we're going to have to do it that way. We have to go and sign players at that age, because the youngsters, you know, are just, you know, they need someone with a bit of an experienced head. You know, I think he has swallowed his own pride. I think he has thought, I'm going to have to do it. I don't know what.
Yeah, at this level, yeah, definitely, man. At this level, especially in League Two, League One, we always say, you look at the teams around the top of the table, or you get promoted, they have the experience in the team. The full team isn't, the spine of the team, they have three or four players who know the stuff. Looking at Exeter yesterday, I think we've still got Nicky Law who's still going, and he has an experience head like that. That's what you need at this level, and it is needed. The spine of the team, like I said, we've been crying out for that centre midfielder there, but I think, obviously, Nicky Adams is going to play right back, right wing. On there, but he's an older head. He looked like you said, Robbie, you're motivating the team. I've never seen a player who's just been signed 24 hours ago. He's come in and he's captain.
Yeah, exactly. And he just, like you said, he just fitted straight in. He looked like he'd been playing with us for years, and it was great. But I mean, for the centre mid position, do you think this German fella's going to do it for us for the? I don't know if he just looks a little bit out of match fitness, but he's obviously a class act. I think he was a bit lucky to stay on yesterday, though. He was.
I think that's why we've got him, if I'm honest. I think that's why we've got to be able to get him on loan, because, you know, he's probably not good enough for. Well, I'm not saying he's not good enough. I'll change the words. He's not ready enough for League One football yet. I think put him in this division.
Championship, in, man.
Sorry? Yeah. No, championship, I mean, commentary. I know he's at Coventry having the championship. What I'm saying is, they probably think they could loan him out to a League One side. He's not ready for League One. He's come to us to prove his fitness. You know, get it up. You know what I mean? That's my
opinion.
I really like him. The two games he's played, Walsall and yesterday, he's been involved. He's linked up player well. He's got himself about a bit, and he seems to have a bit about him. Obviously, these are his first two games in English football. I read Coventry fans said that he had a lung problem, so that's why he just couldn't get fit. And he is overweight. He's a big lad. Me and you are big lads, big man.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
He's carrying a bit of extra weight. I think if he loses a stone, two stone on there, I think he'd be a really,
my
really
missus
good player.
Thinks he looks great, and I was saying, look at the size of him. She said, oh, he's lovely. But she said, well, you're comparing him to all them little kids around him. I said, that's how mid feel that.
Yeah. It is, you know, and it's easy to spot how our midfield is. You know, you need experience. And like Bradley was saying there then, Robin, you know, you need someone in experience. And, you know, and I've watched Tranmere a couple of games this season, and you look at Jay Spear and he's 33. Mm-hmm. Yeah? someone like him, he dictates everything in midfield. He wins, he's a grafter, he can pass, he can shoot, he can do everything. And that is the spine of Tranmere's midfield. I know this is, I'm going on about Tranmere, but like you said, Brad, we need someone to do the grafting there. Someone with a bit of an older head, don't we? You know.
That's what this Hilsner is. I think he's still pretty young, I think. But he has been around the German league and he's played for Hansa Rostock and Paderborn, who are a Bundesliga team.
Yeah.
He's played at a decent level. He's played quite a lot of games for him. So, like I said, I think he's going to be a very good player. He looks like these two signings have raised the team, raised the bar a bit. We were light in midfield. We needed somebody there who can create a bit. And he's not scared of getting on the ball.
No, he's not. He's not. And I thought when Nicky Adams come in and Hilsner, we know where the position he is, but Nicky Adams, I didn't expect him to be right back yesterday, if I'm honest.
No, I had no idea with that team. You had no idea what that team was going to be forming, the formation was going to be. It just didn't make any sense.
No.
We do that quite a lot, though, don't we? When Q names a team, we look at it and say, what formation is playing? Who's playing where? You just think, bloody hell. But he agreed as wrong yesterday. He set it up right, and obviously we got the win there. But yeah, them two signings, I think, are probably really good signings, and I think they're going to move us on as a team, hopefully. And hopefully other players have got to raise back, because obviously we've got six loan players now. We can have five in a squad, and McCalmon, who's probably our best midfielder, is a lot better than Garrity.
Yeah.
Was missing yesterday, so we'll see what he comes to. It gives that added competition, so everyone's got to start playing well.
What's your thoughts on Garrity?
I was just thinking about McCormack. I'm thinking how unlucky he was because Lawler got nubbled in the warm up because he's a lone player as well, isn't he? So McCormack could have been on the bench. I
never thought of that.
Garrity's. I think Garrity's been the one who's been crying out for help, you know, that experienced midfielder next to him, just to give him some guidance and a little bit of... Because I don't mind him, and he works hard and he gets himself into places, but sometimes this passing lets him down a little bit. And, you know, I don't like to be too critical of the players that are playing for the team. As long as they're putting in 100%, and that's all you can ask, really. It's when you see them, you know, their heads dropping and they're not really trying and you're thinking... Someone else could be on the pitch doing this instead of you. Garrity just, I think there's something there. He's only young, isn't he? What age is he?
I think he's 23.
I think he's 23, 24, but he's not played league football. No, he's played league football. It's this first time he's played league football.
Like I said, I like to see how he develops with someone, you know, like Hilsner next to him. You know, just helping him along, and Nicky Adams as well. I think it'll like you said, those two are just going to bring the level of the team up a little bit. You know, we'll get the better out of the younger players around him. So I'm not totally off Garrity. I see a lot of people get onto Garrity. I think yesterday there were a couple of players who didn't play as well as Garrity. And I think what's the fullback called, the left fullback who Bothwick Jackson. I don't know what was wrong with him yesterday, because you saw Kuehl kind of having a bit of a go at him on the touchline, and he just didn't seem interested.
That's the second time he's come off at half.
Someone said he's not been so well. Is he been ill or something?
I don't know.
He's been in and out of the team quite a bit. I do know that he's in and out of the team quite a bit. Obviously, we've got Badan there now. You can play left back, so I think he might have been playing through something on there. So you don't really know what's happened with Bothwick Jackson on there. But yeah, he did have a bit of a poor game. But we'll talk a bit more on the Newport game a bit soon. But obviously, we've had a bit of a piss boil this week. Obviously, the transfer there of Roe going. You said the reason why I wanted to speak to you on here, Robin, you sent a passionate rant to me about the way the club is and stuff. What's your thoughts on the Roe departure?
Again, I mean, I'm not as young as you guys, and I've seen it happen before. I've seen, you know, when we lose good players, and it happens. It's football. You got to lose sometimes. Your best player disappears and goes. I remember how devastated I was when Dennis Irwin left, especially to go to Manchester United. But you know, players come and go. But it's just the way it happens, and you hear the things that the comments on Twitter and stuff about having fallouts with managers. You just don't want that. You want it to be for footballing reasons or financial reasons, but you don't want it to be because someone's, you know, upset somebody in the hierarchy and therefore they've got to go, because that's no way to build a team, and it's no way.
No,
you know, if the manager's turning around and finding out that he's going to lose a player because he's had a bit of a set to with the owners, and it's not like it's the first time it's happened. And we look at the David Wheater situation, and it's just so frustrating. You know, they talk about finances, and we must be paying out the biggest wages we've got to a guy who's sitting on he's training with the youth and then going on to bench press his dog, I suppose. But
you're right there.
Go on, Ben.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, when I obviously seen the news of Rob, we've obviously heard a bit about, you know, him going with being out of contract and receiver fee. I understand that, you know, it does happen in football where you think we've got to get rid because he's going for nothing in the summer. Let's get something for him before he goes for nothing. But I think there's more to this than meets the eye, mate. I think something's happened. I do. Because he is a player, Danny Rowe. I'm not saying he's been the best player that we've had, but he's a player that can individually get you something out of the game. And for me, I would have kept him, but I think there's more towards it. I think it's something deep down that we'll probably never get to.
But then again, if you ask me now, you know, would rather have Nicky Adams or Danny Rowe, it'd be a tough call. I quite like what Nicky obviously brings to the team. And I think we might be able to survive without Danny Rowe, but we've desperately needed someone like Nicky Adams, so maybe it's for the best. Like I say, it's not as much the football decisions. Those things happen, and especially finances are so tight with the pandemic and everything. But it's just if it's got anything to do with personalities, you just think, oh God, not again. And again, the financial situation, why are we paying out for such big wages for, you know, is David going to go? Is he going to go this close season, this transfer window, or is he going to, you know, sit tight? And I can't blame him, and I wouldn't. If he's got the contract, then it's up to us. We should play him, you know, if he's got a contract with us.
We need him.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely agree on that one. And also, we've obviously Rowe going. The reason why, I did read the minutes which pushed the boundary put with Carl Evans. Obviously, it's very frustrating how Rowe has left the club. No two ways about it. That potentially there's been a falling out with Moore after the Mansfield game, and then that's when we've offered him to a few clubs, and that's when he chose to go Bradford. And obviously, Carl Evans' reasoning behind it was that he's out of contract in the summer, and they don't think he's going to sign a deal, so they need to cash in and get some money. So obviously, you can see the argument, and as people have put it on the. And I know people aren't Rowe's favourite one, but I would have kept him. But the problem we've got now, it's also been well publicised recently that McElney could be going to Bradford as well. I don't think we should be selling to Bradford anyway. They are a relegation rival or top seven rival. They're a bit below us on the table. But we should not be selling our top player to a team in League Two.
No, we shouldn't.
And I think if that happens, if McElney goes to Bradford, heads need to go.
I mean, how many goals 100%. Would that be going if Danny Rowe and McElney both went to Bradford?
Nearly 20, God, I think.
You just can't lose that sort of firepower and expect to do anything, can you?
You really can't. And touch on that, Brad, what you just said, it's a very good point. You know, if you went back to League One and someone like came in from in League One, you kind of think, well, do you know what? He's going to an I division. If he wants to go, and we get a good feed for him, let him go. But if we're selling to someone to Bradford, Brad, like you're right, heads need to roll there, mate. Heads need to roll. Simple and needs to roll.
Yeah, it's definitely agree. Because obviously the reason and why they said that the Rowe, he might not sign a contract. You're looking at Conor McElhaney, he's too good for League Two. We all know that he's too good for League Two. He's been injured quite a bit. He might be looking to go to League One. at the end of the season, so we might not know if he will though. So I don't think you're right. Let's cash on him now, get a bit of a fee. I don't know what you'd be getting. You'd be hoping that you at least get $100,000 for him if he did go, but it's not worth it. The goals which he has scored this season is probably our best player,
and we're not going to replace.
No, that's the thing, and obviously with Zach Durnley's injury record as well. It's I mean, I love Zach, but God, he just wish he could get some fitness and stay fit and build something off it. But without him and Durnley and Rowe, what are we going to do? You know, we'll just it makes you worry. And like you say, you've got to make a decision about if you're going to cash in now or what's the benefit of keeping him, and maybe he scores another 10, 15 goals for us and gets us into the playoffs maybe. And how much could that be worth to us? That's a bit.
Yeah.
Again, that's hope.
You're right. No, because I know me and Brad talked about it yesterday about relegation and promotion, because it's such a topsy-turvy. One minute you're looking over your shoulder, next minute you're looking above. I understand, you know, and I seem to think we'll finish mid-table. That's where I think we'll finish. But in reality, you know, we're only 7 points off it. And, you know, if we get another signing in, who knows? Who knows? I'm not trying to say, oh, you know, now you're delusional, you bin man. But, you know, it's 7 points off. It's not a massive amount,
I saw it yesterday. If we win our next two, if by Saturday afternoon, we could be in the playoffs if all the results go the right way for us. I mean, they won't. But, you know, that's how close this league is. It's so tight.
Yeah, it is.
Definitely understandable. But talking obviously yesterday's game, it was a big 3 points. Obviously, it was a typical Oldham performance where we normally, when a team goes down to 10 men, we do seem to struggle and we never make it easy. We have a chance to put the game to bed and obviously we miss a penalty and Bilbo at the end, but he drops the ball and you think, oh, bloody hell, they're going to put it down. What were your thoughts on yesterday's game?
I've been really looking forward to it because I was so down about the situation during the week with losing Danny. And then I just built myself up to enjoying the match. And then it was great to see again, but I just, exactly like you said, it's just typical us. First few minutes and you thought, oh God, this could be a really bad day for us. Then we just got into the match and then obviously the red card helped us an awful lot. But maybe that was ideal for us. It gave the new players time to bed in. And but God, they don't have to make you sweat, don't they? That drop in the 95th minute when Bilbo dropped it. I was just and that was just after Clarkey had done his wonderful tackle.
Oh, that was, I was mad at that. I was like, yes, bloody yes. It's the biggest thing, honest to God, that, because
he was going to go and score that, lad. There's nothing worse about it.
What did you make of this ending off?
It looked like he looked like he lashed out. I think he sent out a little message to everyone saying, oh, he didn't lash out, but it didn't half look like he slapped him in the face, slapped Isner in the face. But it was... I don't know if it helped us or not, that, because we seemed to struggle a little bit after when they went down to 10. And didn't they score straight away after that as well?
Then
they went through and scored. But it was a strange old match, because you thought, oh, you can definitely do something, but you were always worried they were going to break away and score. But they're top of the table, and you expect them to be doing things like that. I'm a bit of a loss about what to think about yesterday's match, because I don't know if it was a really good performance because we won, or if it was, well, we were dead lucky and, you know, but you know, lucky or good, I don't mind.
Yeah, 3 points is 3 points at the end of the day. And obviously, it's a win at home and we've only beat Cheltenham at home this season. And like Binman said, that it's the first time we've gone, our last two wins are against Newport at home and away. I think Keeler Dunn has come on a bit recently. He's got 2-2 now. He seems to be finding his feet in the league. I still think he needs to offer a little bit more on there, but he's getting in the right places.
What position does he play?
think he's a number 10. I know he's number 10 on the back. Don't think I'm being stupid here. But I think he does. I think he does play like a number 10 role. I think that's his actual role. I think he could play. In fact, I think he could play anywhere across the midfield. But I think he prefers it behind the striker.
Yeah,
doesn't
yeah.
He? I think that's a natural position. That you know, but. Where would you see him playing there?
I think that's probably about right. He had some great touches yesterday, and he took his goal really, really well as well. And he was the one who passed it to Kelny for the shot, I think, that Grant scored off. And it just looked like he was he was getting into it, and he's enjoying his time a little bit more. Before, he looks like he struggled a little bit. And I think he looked like he enjoyed that game yesterday, which is what you want to see from your players.
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely, definitely. We do have one talking point from the match. He's obviously the penalty. Obviously, there's a bit of to and fro in between McKelney and Bambula. Bambula did score the last penalty, but McKelney wasn't on the pitch. And Rowe was the designated penalty taken. But McKelney has taken some this season when Rowe's not been playing. What's your thoughts? Who do you think? I'll go to you first, Ben, man. Who do you think should have taken that penalty?
It's an hard one, isn't it? Because, you know, Bambula converted the last one, so you naturally think he should take it. But McKennelly is a designated penalty taker. It is an hard one, but I would have gone with McKennelly. I would, because he is designated penalty, and you don't want to take off your designated penalty taker. But on the flip side of it, Brad, he was the one who scored at Bournemouth in a penalty, so, you know, he should be taking it. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. But at the time of the game, if you 2-0 up, I thought, yeah, Bambula, give it him. You know, he's got the last one. But with the game still in the balance at 3-2, you know, he's going end-to-end.
He's our top scorer as well.
Yeah, yeah, and top goal scorer. You know, that's my view on it, really.
Robin, what do you think? Who do you reckon?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about who's a designated penalty. Because I think if you've got a designated penalty taker, I thought it was Bambula. I thought, didn't McKelney play against Bournemouth?
No, he came off the bench.
Well, I mean, if Bambula's, you know, the manager says it's Bambula, and that's what it is, and if he misses, he misses. But if it's, I mean, we all saw it when he threw the ball in the air. You thought, oh, God, I hope Bambula scores this. And then he blazes it over. But and I know a lot of people have read a lot into that, and he's off to Bradford now. But I think people are right. He's not going to. Yeah. He's a professional. He's not going to cash it in just for one penalty kick. But on the other hand, it probably if he had a 50-50 decision to make, it probably wouldn't have helped. I don't know. I've played the game myself, and I think if you win the penalty, you've kind of got a case to say, oh, I want this. But if your manager's decided you've got one penalty taker, then that's who takes it. So it's they got.
Yeah, it's an hard one. It is an hard one, isn't it? Now, when Bambula did die that day at hospital, you know, no, it's true. But he's died in that hospital. You know, I'll be honest. You know, McKennelly would probably thought inside. Well, there you go. I should have took it. You know, kind of like cockiness. Oh, it should have been me. It should have been me. You know, so we know next time if we do get a penalty awarded and McKennelly's on the pitch.
Yeah, definitely.
And it should be him.
But I watched at the end. At the end, you know, and I'm pretty sure I wasn't alone. I was watching them, you know, shake hands and stuff. And you saw McKelney and Bambula have a bit of a hug. It was a brief thing, but it was good to see. And you were a bit more reassured about it. Yeah.
What do you think about it, Brad? What's your thought?
Well, I think it's a good thing that they didn't go over the other end and score, because obviously that would have been the big talking point from the game. And I think Kuehl would have absolutely gone mental in there. I think they would have had, I don't think they would have been hugging at the end. I think they would have been giving it each other. I think McKelney should have taken it. He's our top scorer. He's got a chance to move forward on there. And he is our best player. And I think he's scored quite a few penalties for us. So in my eyes, he should have taken it. Bambula, he's a cracking player, but even against Bournemouth when he scored that one, you knew that he would do something. You don't think he would have scored. And yesterday, you just once you argue between yourselves over a penalty.
Yeah, that's you know the thing. Everybody could see that. The second you start arguing, no one's going to score it. it's frustrating, but I mean, at least it didn't matter. But Christ, we didn't have worry ourselves. Just that, like, we'll go back to Bilbo dropping that ball in the last seconds. Oh, God, that would have been perfect, Oldham, that.
Oh, the
yeah, no, yeah, exactly. We weren't mental, didn't we, Ben?
Oh, we weren't absolutely ballistic. But do you know, if you was in an 11-a-side, all of us three now, and you were playing a game like that yesterday, and Bahambula missed it, and he was arguing over it, and we would have drew 3-3. Every single player of that team would have
Yeah.
No, it's true, though, isn't it? You would do, wouldn't you? You would. You'd have gone up and give it him. Something. You are an idiot. You're an idiot. You know. It would have done. Be honest. We all would have. Good job.
Exactly. But we've got the 3 points. We've got the 3 points there. But obviously, games are coming quick and fast now again. We've got Cheltenham on Tuesday. Obviously, how many times I've been there? I think, well, what's it called? Johnny Mock Stadium. I've been there 4 times.
I've never been down to Cheltenham, I don't think. Like I say, I mean, I left the country never before we got really relegated. I only went to places like Old Trafford and Anfield and stuff.
So obviously,
that's not true, because I went before we got promoted. I used to go to all the, but it was weird because all the clubs were up north. It was there weren't that many down south. So it was the old second division was just full of northern clubs, so you didn't have to go that far. But no, I've never been to them. But I watched them last night. No, they've got some nice fireworks. I know that much.
I know, exactly. Bimmer, how many times have you been to Cheltenham? You remember you said that you went to the FA Cup game?
Yeah, on the Sunday afternoon where Darren Sheridan got sent off. And Quincy, you were talking about this yesterday, he got sent off in all 4 competitions that season. Darren Sheridan, believe
it. I think it's a record. I think we believe it to be a record, don't we?
Yeah, I think it is a record. I think anyone's been sent off in. I know that in 4 competitions. In 1 season, 4 different competitions. But yeah, the first visit went down there and there was a Division 4 side at the time. Well, should we say League 2? And we were League 1. And we went down there on a Sunday afternoon and I weren't ready for it. I thought, these are going to be up for it. And we got beat. I was devastated. I think it was the third round. It was, yeah, the third round. But we've had some memorable visits to Cheltenham, haven't we? On and off the pitch, haven't we?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I've been mascot at Cheltenham. That was my first visit there. I always remember when I was mascot there, you always got a bit jealous, didn't you, Ben?
Yeah.
Boundary Blues, that you never got called up for it.
Probably
I went twice with Boundary Blues. But yeah, this one might roll a few memories back. We had Thomas Sitker on loan. Don't think he played many games. I ended up meeting him and a favourite player at the time, Stefan Stam. I had a picture with him there. But yeah, more often recently, Ben, man. But I think I said 4 times there, we've had a bit of off the field there. We got bad from our pub, haven't we?
Yeah, we've been bad. We're not allowed back in the pubs again. What was the words you used? Never come back in this fucking pub again.
To be fair, right, the pub, Cheltenham, Robin, obviously it's quite posh. You had this pub there, which the supporters' club pub. Sorry, Sean's coach pulled up, and we thought we'd been there the year before. It was a nice day. We're all on the piss. Went to the pub this year. We went in the pub. Got out of the pie. They only had Carlsberg on draft. An absolute cat piss. Yeah. Flat as a witch's tit. five of a pie. I thought, oh, we're not having that. There's a nice chippy out corner. And there's a big Tesco's. So what we decided to do, we thought, let's go and get a crate. And have our own beer. We'll sit in the car park and drink it. Guy coach says, you're disgusting.
You're a disgrace. £4 a pint, though. £4 a pint.
A Carlsberg.
£4.
Oh, I thought you can go and get fucked. £4. £4.
I think it's more than that, Ben. I think closer to a £5, I think, about it for the Carlsberg.
Even £4.
Know, but yeah, it's terrible.
I couldn't understand if it's Stella Artois or... Oh, something like that, but it was Carlsberg, green Carlsberg. It was never again. I thought, nah, we've got to create these lagers, sat in the beer garden, both with our tops off. That did enough to scare everyone off and not get caught. So.
But yeah, there's the thing is that it got a bit cold, didn't it, Bim? in the car park at this pub. They had a car wash.
Yes, they did.
The car wash in January, they were spraying water and stuff like that. We just enjoying our beer. We got told that never to come back in this pub again. Well, I think we got drove, didn't we? Absolute dismal Dino performance.
3-0
Zeus. Zeus had a nightmare and stuff like that. But yeah. Well then, but speaking of tomorrow's game, Tuesday's game. What do you think, Robin? Do you think we'll?
I reckon that long throw is going to kill us.
Yeah, I was looking at that yesterday.
It looked awesome. I mean, City was struggling to deal with it, and they just. It's if he's playing, if he's fit, we're going to have to worry about that. But you never know. We've just done the double on Newport. Let's do the same for Cheltenham. It's after the Lord Mayor show, isn't it? They've had the big game, so hopefully they'll have a hangover from it, and we can benefit.
Like someone on Twitter said, I was hoping for extra time, really. Could have get him a bit
it would get a bit too much for him, wouldn't it, by the end? But I mean, City are a good side, isn't it? There's no shame in what happened to him. But
yeah.
Like I say, I'm a bit worried. Not worried. I just wondering how the new signings are going to cope with you know, two games a week, and because it's pretty much that for the next 3 or 4 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, we have got
it is indeed, yeah.
A pile up, haven't we? Well, it's not saying the pile up because it's actual league games. It's not none of apart from Forest Green. You know, they're actual fixtures, aren't they? I think we've just got to get them all in. We've obviously started later, you know what I mean? But my view on Cheltenham on Tuesday, like you say, Robin, that throwing could be problematic. You know, he can get some long throws in there, and how will our defenders be able to cope with such bombardment of then throw-ins keep going in? But I'm pretty sure, obviously, Kiwa will have done his own work, and hopefully we can deal with it. And
I'd probably look to put Pierre Gianni in instead of John Batty on Tuesday, because obviously he's a bit more, he's got more presence. He can win their medals. Obviously, we really are poor at defending crosses and set pieces.
If he does that, who's going to be Pierre captain? Gianni
coming in?
It's Pierre Gianni.
I think he'll go Pierre Gianni. I think he's club captain. You know, it'd be Pierre Gianni. Obviously, don't want any
tension. I think Adams would be is a proper pro, and he probably wouldn't have any worries about it. But I mean, I think you're right. I like John Batty. I just don't like him in the centre of defence. I think he's a mistake or two waiting to happen.
Because they
say that. And I saw that someone had clipped out that that little bad pass he did when he just kicked it straight out.
Oh, yes.
I didn't see it either.
I noticed that until someone put it on Twitter, and I'm like, really?
Someone wrote it. They wrote, hands off EFL, he's ours, or something like that.
You can't beat our fans, can you? You can't. What do you think of Tuesday then, Brad? What are you thinking?
I think they've got a good striker. Alfie Mayer's a good striker at this level.
He's a thorn in the side.
He scored against us. Yeah, he has scored against us a few times. I remember him at Donny, scored a few against us. But I think we could go there and get something. I'm more than confident away from home. I think we will get something. Obviously, we've got Salford as well. But I'd hope for 4 points out the next
game. Is it Salford on Saturday? Yeah.
I'd just about say that. Yes.
So on Saturday, we've got obviously the return of Wellens.
Well, he's going to be him all scores, isn't he? It's Wellens now, isn't it? He's
I know, it doesn't bring thing of that though, does it? But you know, I think with Salford on Saturday, that will be a pretty good game. That, you know, I'm actually looking forward to that.
Such a shame. I know shame we're not able to go, isn't it? Because it's. I mean, I know I can't get there myself anyway, but it's funny that because I've been watching all the games on iFollow for a couple of years now. Because it's been available to international people, what I'm saying, to people abroad. Because you know they've got this law, you can't film games, you can't do live games at 3 o'clock on a Saturday in the UK. And because I live in France, we get this iFollow package, so I've been watching it for 2 years. So basically, I've watched every game from the last 2 years.
Is it the same pay?
I've bought a season ticket 2 years in a row now.
Oh, right.
I pay for cup matches. What they call the checker trade or whatever it was. Cup. They don't let you up. They're not part of the package, so you have to pay extra for them. But that's it. I've watched every single game for like 2 years. It's a bit of a punishment sometimes, but.
It's so much to think of on a when you look Well, I know obviously COVID take you know coronavirus. You know you well coming in the year as soon as you can.
No, my daughter lives in Scotland, and the first thing I'm going to do is get her to come over and spend some time with us. But if I'm being totally delusional, I'm going to come over for the playoff final.
I went to
the Rotherham playoff final that they did recently, because that's funny that because Rotherham's a weird team because my dad's a supporter of them, but they've had all the same problems we've had with like you know threatened liquidation and weird owners you know that have not been helping the club out and stuff, and yet they've managed to come out through the other end of it, and they've got this fantastic stadium and a really good like business plan. And it's really the fans are really connected to it all, and it's weird. I mean, looking at that because I see Rotherham quite a lot, and I see because my uncles and aunts all go to Rotherham, and I see them and just think, God, that's what we could be like. It in a way it's hopeful because you think, yeah, we can get through to the other end of this, and in another way it's frustrating because why aren't we like that? You know, it's. Because you see that on the eye follow, you see the stadiums that we're going to now, and every time it's Athletics, you see that beautiful Joe Royal stand, and then you see these little you know sheds that we're going to, and thinking we just don't belong there. Well, maybe we do.
No, I think the club deserves, you know, the way we're being run deserves to be in there because we shouldn't be operating like that. But our fans certainly do not deserve to be in League Two. In fact, they don't deserve to be in League One. We've got a great... I know the attendance is at home is shocking, but, you know, our away following is somewhere else, isn't it? So we've got some of the best fans, away fans, in this country. Honestly, we have. And I'm willing to say it in there. We are in the top 15 of this country for away fans.
It's not just the averages. It's the, when you see them, you know, they're just so passionate and so... They're insane. You know, I presume you two are both in there as well, but... It's brilliant, but even that, you know, I've always, whenever I see him, I always just say, God, that away following is fantastic. That I'm proud of my team. I love my team, but I really love the away fans. I love watching them. I love being part of it. It's fantastic, and obviously miss it a lot at the moment as well.
Do you know what I think it is? I'll be honest. Brad will agree with me on this. You know, we take 1,000 fans somewhere. I think 890 is going to go on the piss.
Yeah, definitely.
The other 10 are drivers.
Wouldn't you agree, Brad?
Yeah.
Just want to go on the piss. Just want to go on the piss all the time, you know. But we do have some
fantastic obviously, we've got the two games to end on the note there. Give us your prediction for both games, Robin and Binman.
Go for it.
I'll go first. 1-1 against Cheltenham, and I'll go for McKenna Lee first goal scorer in that. And I will go 3-0 Oldham on Saturday against Salford. Would you are battering someone, and I think up for there at the end of it. I'm going to go 3-0 Oldham on Saturday. 4 points out of two games.
Go on, Robin.
Robin?
I've got my heart's saying one thing, mate. I'm going to take outright optimistic, just totally optimistic. I reckon 2-0 to Latics on Tuesday, and then 4-1 to Latics on Saturday.
Yeah, we're quite optimistic. Do you?
Exactly. I will be a bit pessimistic on this. I think we will beat Cheltenham, and we'll go 3-2 on there. I'm not too sure who's scored, but I think we're 3-2, and I think we'll get beat off Salford 2, where I think that Thomas Asante always turns up against us, and I think he'll probably bag a couple.
It'll be a draw.
Well, hopefully we get 4 points. Hopefully we get 4 points. I'm hoping for 4 points. And, keeps us in touch, keeps the season going a bit further.
Yeah, I'm hoping for
Fulham. Do you know what I just want? I just want us to not... one match, and I know we're probably going to lose one, but I just want one match where we just thrash someone and we're just not worried and we're not coming up to 85th minute thinking, oh God, we're going to screw this up. Just one time. Because we haven't done that all season and it's just so...
Well, the last game I can remember, we actually Newport, weren't it, Brad? We absolutely battered them at home, didn't we? I think it was one of the best home games I've seen in a long time. We come out there, it could have been eight there.
Yeah, definitely. I think I saw a stat. I think out of 20 of the, I think we played 24 games. In 20 of the games, we've been behind. We come from behind. Oh no, we've actually been losing the game. I think it's more than anybody in the country. So hopefully we can get start off well and batter a team. I hope so. But it's going to be a tough two games.
Yeah.
It is. I think after Saturday at 5 o'clock, I think where we are is where we'll finish. I think this is the point of the season now where we think these are the games we've got to be winning now if we want to do something. You know,
yeah, totally
that's my
agree.
Opinion anyway,
totally agree. Obviously,
but hopefully we do.
We can start our run, and we can see you in COVID finishing, and we can see you at Wembley there, Robin.
But no worries. Thanks for coming on, Robin. It's been a pleasure having an international on.
Nice to hear some older accents.
It's been brilliant.
No worries. Take care.